A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase my faith." And the Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to that person, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron, wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I finish.' Is he grateful to the servant because he did what is commanded? So should it be for you. When you have done all that has been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do.'" Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is still not working, I bet. Oh, it's working now. Welcome to this world. It's still working? Okay. Wave at me if it doesn't, but anyway. How many of us this week spent any time planting seeds? Anyone among you? You did some?
In my garden.
In your garden? Okay, what kind of seeds were you planting?
This is a diamondia. It's like a ground cover.
Okay, a ground cover. Anyone else planting seeds this week? What were you planting?
It's not a different kind of seed. It's actually me speaking with my nephews and letting them know what they need to do for this week so they could love each other more.
For the nephews to?
To actually do something special for each other so they can show each other that they love each other more.
Oh, okay. So you weren't planting seed per se, but
per se.
You were showing people how to, your nephews how to plant seeds. Okay. So as I was reflecting on this and preparing for this during the early part of the week, I was conscious that all the people that I was preaching with this weekend in various places, that very few of us would actually be planting seeds. We tend to not be farmers in this part of the world. We tend to go to the market and we get food that's been planted and grown someplace else, or flowers. So I was trying to reflect on how we might look at this gospel, which is about a parable that is about something that's small that produces large amounts of foliage to cover, to cool, or lots produces abundantly. And as I was thinking of that, I thought of this wonderful little thing that we tend to have. How many people here have a phone, a cell phone? Anyone here have a cell phone? No one has a cell phone. Okay. Okay. And are these helpful things to you? So I won't ask how many hours a day you spend on your cell phone, but it can take up a whole lot of our time because it is something small, but it can produce abundantly. It can connect us with family and friends. It can connect us with the world, and it can make this immensity of information and reality very small and concrete. I had an evangelical chaplain friend of mine who every week or so he would say, "I've added another 10 Bibles to this." And on his phone, like any of our phone, we can download all the arts of all the world, of all time. We could put on this thing all the languages and variations of the Bible text and the Quran and all the sacred texts of the world on this little thing. There can be an abundance here that no one else, including Jesus, would ever imagine that someone could hold in the palm of their hand. We can see pictures on this that tell us that the universe that God created is more immense and more grand and more beautiful than any of us or our grandparents or great-grandparents or any generation before us could ever imagine. This little thing for us is a seed that gets planted in our life. And the question is, will it produce abundantly? Will it allow the Word of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the mercy of God to be abundant in our lives? In a few words on this, you can text your friend that you're thinking of them, and that might bring them a sense of peace and joy that maybe during their struggles is all they need. And equally, with a few strokes, whether it's a tweet or some other version, we know that we can change people's lives by telling them that they're ugly, they don't fit in. We want them to leave our school. We see this in the presidential campaign, and we see it in our human life. Something as small as a tweet can change people's lives, can harm people's spirits, can lift people up, can affirm people in a way, in an amazing way, that can touch and change a person who is about to commit suicide to feel that they have hope. I propose that this is a seed that today we are invited tonight to see as something that is small as the mustard seed, but it can indeed produce abundantly. Now, the first reading talks, invites us to this cry for violence. Violence all around, the prophet says. Violence all over the world. And this is not just something from 8,000 years ago. There is violence in our world. We see it in our streets, in our neighborhoods. We see it daily in this whole struggle between police and people of color and people who are struggling with what their rights are and what is being judged by what they either look like or their behavior. When I think about 150 years ago, how many of us were alive? Any of our altar servers alive 150 years ago? No? 100 years ago? 25 years ago? 15 years ago? I don't know. 150 years ago. If you were to think about 150 years ago, I think about it a lot as a chaplain at a hospital. Because on a daily basis, medical ethic questions, as I've said here before many times, what we are talking about, our family and friends 150 and all the thousands of years before, never had those conversations. They just didn't have those conversations. People got sick. They tried to keep them alive, and they died. There was no question of insurance. There was no question of, let's try another machine. As the church invites us a month from now on Election Day to vote with the bishops on Proposition 62 to end the death penalty, when you think back 150 years just on that particular reality, we didn't see people executed. They were being executed. They were being lynched, they were being hung, they were being shot. We just didn't see it. And then about 50 years ago, not only the TV but the phone came, and now we can see live when a person is being girded down and put in with some medicine so that we would stop them to live. We can see a chair, an electric chair, having a shortage, and all of a sudden we see fires and flames coming out of people's heads. We can see the real reality of what happens when the state kills a person. And that's a piece of why the church says, wait a second, what we didn't see before, we see now. How many people saw the real reality of World War I, World War II? It was only in the time of Korea and beyond that people began to see war. And it began to change the effects of what people went. Our people didn't just go over there. And when they came back, we thought everything was well. We often didn't deal with what they saw, what they experienced. The fact that they came back and felt somewhat guilty because they didn't die like their friends did. All that effect of war. Beyond 50 years ago, we did not see. At one point in my family genealogy work, I went to our Calvary Cemetery to look for my great uncle, my Uncle Charlie. He had died as a small child in the early 20s. In that period of time when so many children were dying as in part of the pandemic, they just put the child in a box and put him in the tomb, put him in the ground. So as I tried to find Charlie's gravesite, it was pretty clear that we had to dig down several feet of dirt to find a little circle find where he was buried. That is a reflection of what we saw as both children dying at an early age, premature children, fetal demises, or even abortions. During that whole period of time, we didn't see them. Only the person right around saw them. And so the church's reflection today, when they talk about the spiritual reality of respect life from the unborn to the elderly to health care for all to immigration to the death penalty, it's now seen in the context of this little thing, both television and phone, that allows us to see violence. And the church says, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What does our tradition say? And so sometimes we get offended that the Holy Father and the church and the documents keep saying we need to look at war and instruments of war and torture and the death penalty and immigration and health care from new eyes. Because now we can see when we don't help people out, when we don't encourage a nonviolent response, we actually see. And so on our streets this week again, as body cameras tell people what's happening between people on the streets and the police, all of a sudden we have new eyes that raises new questions, new concerns. And from a faith perspective, when we see things, whether it be on our phone, an earthquake in Peru that kills 1,000 people, several months ago or whenever you got your first phone, you could care less about that probably. All of a sudden you see a news item and you see people buried underneath rubbish and in Peru, and it's like, wow, I see that reality. I can see bombs dropping in Syria. We can see that small child that was left from the bombing. Today we are given a gift. And like any gift, it can be a burden. It is this small thing that you and I call a phone, a cell phone, a smartphone. Some people call them a dumb phone. We call them these things that has the possibility of healing and connectedness and keeping us together as family, as community and friends. In one sense, it allows us to be a universal Catholic Church for the first time. Our previous generation didn't know what the Pope said this afternoon. We can look on and see what he said when he traveled to the country that he visited today. We can see how he encouraged the people in that community where there's only a few hundred Catholics in a land of many other faith traditions. How connected can we be to the leadership of our Catholic Church? What a blessing. But we can also switch the page and we can see terrible things. The first reading reminds us that the prophet says, violence, there's violence in the world. Yes, there is. And the prophet reminds us that we are called not to be overwhelmed with the violence, but to do something about it. To be in solidarity with those people who are victims of violence, to be in prayer with those who struggle with violence, to be with those that are being held captive because of violence in other lands, to be with those immigrants and refugees that are simply trying to find a safe place for themselves or their children or their spouses to live, and to say, what would Jesus do? This is Respect Life Month. We as a Catholic Church for a month reflect on what do we mean when we say the dignity of each person is sacred. And we say that about the unborn child. And we're known for that. No one questions what our church teaches on our belief in the unborn. They often question the rest of us for the rest of life, because sometimes we're not doing the prenatal care or the senior care. We're not saying that health care for all is a value. We're not saying that the death penalty lessens us as a human reality. The second reading reminds us that if we take the prophet seriously, then we will do something. We will allow the Spirit to say, okay, what can I do with this phone, with my life, that in small ways, like the gospel, can be a seed that produces abundantly? What can I do in my conversations at school or at work that might lessen someone judging that person because of the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, their religious belief, their political belief? What can I do to bring about the respect of life that is for all people? This is like that seed in the gospel. It can be a small little thing. It can do some amazing large things too. It can do some destructive things too. How can we use this as a seed, a mustard seed that can produce and be an opportunity for life, for all life, for the sacredness of life? As the Holy Father says, not only this life, the life that we humans experience, but how do we not only see the sacredness of all creation, of all God's creatures, and even beyond that, into the universe? So I invite us, how many said they had a cell phone? How many people have a phone on you? Okay, so I'm going to ask you this week. Obviously, as Christian people, you take your Bibles wherever you go, of course, right? Yeah. Do you know where your Bible is? It's under the stack of papers at home. No, it's with all those other dead books that we never look at. So along with our Christian Bible, that is a part of our lives, I'm going to ask you this week that every time you take this out, to take a moment and use it as a meditation, as a moment to say, how can I allow this little thing to produce good? How can I use this little thing to affirm people in life? How can I say smart things that when someone puts up something on your Facebook page or tweets it that says something good, we support it? And when they are destructive, when they are nasty and hurtful and evil and destructive, we at least pray over them, or we respond and say, that is not true. That is not good. That is not gospel. That is not Jesus. That is not mercy. That is not hope. Just allow this to be a moment of meditation, a moment of reflection. How can I use this for the good? How can I use this as an opportunity? The gospel invites us, in the words of our gospel tonight, Lord, increase our faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say, uproot the mulberry tree and all of its power, all of its grandness. Be uprooted, mulberry tree, and be planted into the seed. You and I are given this little gift, let us allow it to produce abundance of life, respect life in all of its forms.